This is the first live audience that I have spoken to in about 2 months or so. We have live stream at East Ridge, and we've been doing that with a camera in the back in the balcony, and just a few of our members, elders, a few of our elders, and recently their wives and a few other folks have come. I believe that last Sunday we had around 30 that were in our auditorium that were there. But we have our first service at East Ridge this coming Lord's Day. We're partially reopening, and so we are looking forward to that day when we can come back together. So I want to tell the elders and Brother Terry very special thank you for the honor and the privilege of being with you this evening to share the Word of God with all of you. Great songs. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. We've been through a lot of burdens, haven't we? A lot of things that have happened in our nation and, yea, continue to happen even tonight. But if we will find ourselves around Calvary and bow at the cross, the burdens of life indeed can be lifted away from us. You know, it's different today because you can't shake hands with anybody. You can't go up and give anyone a hug. We're trying to give our elbow greeting, and you're afraid when you give that elbow greeting, you're going to miss and hit somebody in the side of the face. So you're a little nervous about that. So what I saw someone do recently to try to give a greeting is say, what we're going to do is just give a holy wave. So this is my holy wave to all of you this evening. And it's a blessing and a joy. You know, if you know something about the deaf ministry, if you have an index finger, your thumb, and your little pinky finger, if you hold it up this way, you know what that means, don't you? It means I love you. So all you have to do is take your thumb, your index finger, your little finger, and hold it up to others, and that will tell people you love them. And we indeed love all of you who are here this evening. I love Terry and Kathy. We have been working together for so many years, and our ties are strong in the Lord, and I appreciate this couple, as do you, so very, very much. You're trying to struggle with how do you share a lesson with the salt of the earth, people who are here tonight, people that in times like these come out whenever you're struggling with worrying about sickness and not everybody is here, and so you think, what can you share that will be encouraging and uplifting? And I do not know a more uplifting thing to contemplate than the joys that await us someday in heaven above. And if we will let our minds think about the joys that are before us, it will carry us through whatever problems and struggles that we face here in this life. Have you ever thought about the fact that when John was given the revelation of Jesus Christ on that lonely island, that prison island of Patmos, John was sheltering in place. He was confined to that lonely island, away from brothers and sisters and the Lord, a prisoner on that island. And I'm sure there were days and times that his heart would reach across that body of water over there to the Christians on the other side, and he would think about the joy of fellowship that he was missing so very much. Much like all of us have experienced the last several weeks. And as John was given the vision by the Lord Jesus Christ, he saw the things that God showed him was going to be in heaven. And as John saw the vision lifted up in his spirit into the heavenly realms, don't you suppose that that encouraged him while he was so alone on that island? When his heart was heavy with the loss of that sweet fellowship with the people of God that he loved so much. So for just a little while this evening, let's journey together towards heaven. And let's see some things that Brother John saw on that island that
will encourage us here in Scottsboro, Alabama, that will help us to be able to go through whatever are the challenges and struggles that we may be facing this evening. The reading that was given by our good brother a moment ago out of Revelation, the 7th chapter. And I just want to give you quickly three S's. When you take the little letter S and you let it stand for the word that describes the joys of heaven, these things emerge out of the verses that were read just a moment ago. Look at verse number 15. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. You've already got the first S, don't you? Heaven is a place of joy because it is a place of serving. It is a place where we shall serve God around His throne forever and forever. I don't know about your understanding of heaven. I fear that a lot of individuals have a misunderstanding of heaven, that we're going to get up there and we're going to have a rocking chair and we're going to sit in that rocking chair or in a hammock and we're going to just rock away or we're going to lay back and enjoy rest and no work and no service at all throughout all of eternity. But that is not my understanding of what heaven shall be like. Rather, the Bible in our text reveals it is a place where we will serve God before His throne. And you will notice that the words day and night are used in that passage. When the words day and night are used to describe the service that we shall render to God before His throne, it indicates it is a continuing service, day and night, continually. Well, we know there's no night in heaven, but the symbolism that I believe is being portrayed there is that it will be a continuous service that we will give unto God. Now, let's ask ourselves, who is it the Bible describes are going to be serving God? Again, the text says, therefore they who? Well, you go back to the previous verses. You go back to verse number 9. They are those described as out of all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues. They are the ones from everywhere, all the way back to the Old Testament days until the day that Jesus comes again. All of the righteous people of God will be there serving God forever and forever. You will again notice that the Bible says those who are coming out of great tribulation, verse 14, those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. What a beautiful picture is portrayed there for us. Imagine those who are in their white robes having been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And as a sea of white is there before the throne of God, clothed in their white robes, as they serve God eternally. The Bible says in Revelation, the 22nd chapter, verse number 3, and His servants shall serve Him. One of the great thrilling joys that I anticipate is to be able someday to serve God in heaven with men like Abraham, with men like David and Daniel and Mary and Martha and Ruth, men like Peter and Paul and James and John. Terry and I have worked in a lot. We were talking at supper. By the way, I love 50 taters. It was good. I know all of y'all have been out to eat it. Now, we didn't eat 50 of them, but one was enough. But we were reminiscing about the work that we're able to do together, the campaigns that we have done together in Central America, the campaigns that we have shared together in Georgia, and the work. And I would go down to Valdosta visiting with my family, pick up that phone at Dad and Mom's house and call the office at Forest Park and say, Brother Terry, I want to come over and visit with you for a little while. And Terry never said, well, I'm busy today. I can't visit with you. But he would always be gracious and kind, and we've enjoyed working together. And Terry and Kathy, I look forward to our working together someday in heaven. And my wife has been a great partner for almost 49 of your business years. We've been married quite a while, but she has been at my side. We have worked together at home, in other places, and the work of the Lord's church. And to work with her someday in heaven is a great joy that I anticipate. And all of you that are in this audience, though I may not know very many of you, but remember coming down and visiting with you on occasion. And I look forward to all of us being able to serve God together and work together around the throne of God in heaven. I believe one of the great fears that all of us have of growing older. People ask me, Brother Cochran, when are you going to retire? And I try to remind them, I don't want to retire. I want to be able to work all the way until the end of my life. God giving me the opportunity, the health and the strength and the mind to remember and recall what I want to be able to say and do in the work of the kingdom. We want to be active and work just as long as we can. We withdraw from the idea and the thought of having nothing to do, of being confined to our homes. One of the things that's been hard about this coronavirus, hasn't it? People shut in, people sheltering in place, not being able to go out and work. And a lot of folks have been depressed and discouraged because they couldn't go out and do their work and be involved in activities, having to be confined to home. That's a fear that I believe a lot of us have. The Bible says in Revelation 14, verse 13, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Now that word rest, I do not believe, implies sitting down and doing nothing. Imagine a Paul or a Peter or a James or a John, men that live for the Lord and work so diligently in serving the Lord upon this earth. And they get to heaven and there's nothing for them to be able to continue to do in serving God around His throne. I think of the great work that Brother Gus Nichols did down in Jasper, Alabama, for 40 years preaching at the same church. And all been reading the biography or the writing of the life of Brother Gus Nichols. And all the work that man did takes my breath away. How busy he was all the way up to the end of his life, serving, working in the kingdom of God. I cannot imagine a man like Brother Gus Nichols getting to heaven and there's nothing that he would be able to do ever again in serving his Lord. God will have work for all of us. You say, Brother Cochran, what will it be? I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't know what it is. Brother G.C. Brewer, the late Brother Brewer, said, we know not what ministrations he may have for us on other stars. It'll be something that our Creator, our God, will have us doing as we serve Him before His throne. Rudyard Kipling's expressive poem, I believe, conveys the idea of what it will be like serving and working in heaven. Kipling says, when Earth's last picture is painted and the tubes are twisted and dried, when the oldest colors have faded and the youngest critic has died, we shall rest, and faith, we shall need it, lie down for an eon or two, till the master of all good workmen shall set us to work anew. And those that were good shall be happy. They shall sit in a golden chair. They shall splash at a 10-league canvas with brushes of comet's hair. They shall find real saints to draw from, Magdalene, Peter, and Paul. They shall work for an age at a sitting and never be tired at all. And only the Master shall praise us, and only the Master shall blame. And no one shall work for money, no one shall work for fame, but each for the joy of working, and each in his separate star shall draw the thing as he sees it for the God of things as they are. Isn't that a wonderful thought? we shall be used by God eternally, serving Him forever and forever, working, serving in heaven above. And I anticipate that. I long for that service. The joy of it, to serve God up there, begins, that joy begins here. Do you enjoy serving God now? Is there a joy in your heart and your life to be able to work in God's kingdom here upon this earth? And the work that we are doing now, the service we render today and now, is a preparation for the work and the service that we shall give to God when this life is over. Let me give you a second S that I believe describes the joy of heaven. In the latter part of verse 15, the Bible there says, "And He who sits on the throne," that is Jehovah God, it's the one whom John is seeing, "He who sits on the throne will dwell among them." The little word "dwell" in the Greek has the concept of spreading a tent over someone. Now the Jews would remember back in Old Testament days going through the wilderness, going toward the promised land. And out there they had the tabernacle, that portable tent-like structure where that tabernacle would house the holy place, the most holy place, the things that were used in that tabernacle being moved through the wilderness. That tabernacle, that tent, was a thing of worship in those Old Testament days. But maybe some of those Jews would also have portable tents they carried about. And in the times, the heat of the day, they would go inside of that tent. Or at night, they would go inside of their tent in the wilderness and be protected, to be shielded from the heat or from the rain. The Bible here says of God, He will dwell with them. That is, He will cast His tent over them. Those in heaven will be shielded by God's protection. We all know what it means to have a child in the middle of the night that would cry out because of a bad dream or fear of the dark. And as mom and dad hears that child crying out in the middle of the night, you run into the room where the child is and you pick that child up and you hold that child close to your breast and you try to console that child and say, "Everything is okay. Dad and mom are here with you. Nothing will bother you. Nothing will hurt you. I'm here to protect and to care for you." That child then will calmly relax as he hears the voice of mom and dad saying, "It's okay." The child then may go back to sleep in peace because he feels the protection of the shielding of that mom and dad and the care that is being provided by those parents. Imagine this with me now a moment. One of the great joys of heaven is to know that God our Father will protect us. Our Heavenly Father will be there with us, shielding us, caring for us. And He will, as it were, take us in our arms. And God will say, "It's all right. All the fears of the past are gone. All the things you've dealt with in your life are now over forever." And God our Father will hold us close to Himself. God will shield and protect us from all of the bad dreams of life. They will vanish away forever and ever. What security that is for all of us to long and look forward to tonight. Men and women are looking for security tonight. Yet all of us know there is nothing in this world that will bring us security as we desire it. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, where Jesus gives that great sermon upon the mount, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And as you and I then lay our treasures up in heaven, it is secure there. The security of our treasures will be that which we shall receive. God will protect. God will give us that security. Men today invest in stocks and bonds, bank accounts, houses, and lands to be free from care. But we understand that we can have in just a moment of time that house destroyed by a tornado, as happened up in Chattanooga a few weeks ago. And all the security that might have been attached to that house can be taken away in just a moment of time. All the things that we may be saving up, all of the investments of life can be taken away. And the security of those investments can be lost in a moment of time. And there's only one place that I believe is going to be the place of true security, and that is found in heaven where God is. And as I lay up everything that I will place in His care, He will watch after it. It brings joy to my heart tonight to understand the things that I will be shielded from by God when I get to heaven. I'm going to be shielded from temptation and sin. Do you ever get tired of being tempted? Do you get tired of sinning? I think all of us struggle every day with temptation and the weakness of the flesh, where the Lord says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And these old bodies of ours come under the burning temptations and the sins that we commit and the weaknesses of the moments of our lives. But imagine now being in a place where there is no more sin. Well, the Bible says there will be no more temptation. Revelation 21, verse 27, nothing that works an abomination or works a lie is going to enter the doors of heaven. The doors of heaven will be shut on temptation. The doors of heaven are going to be closed on sin. And we shall never, ever again throughout all of eternity face temptation and sin. The Bible says we will be like Jesus. I'm not going to be a little Jesus. You're not either. But a body that will be given will be like His body. 1 John chapter 3 doesn't appear what we're going to be, but we know when He appears, we'll be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. Jesus is sinless, isn't He? He doesn't commit any sin at all. We're going to be like Him in that we will never, ever face temptation and sin again. Paul says our vile body will be changed. Philippians chapter 3. Satan, our great adversary, will be cast away into that eternal place of burning and suffering. As the devil is cast into the lake of fire, all of his angels cast there with him. All the ungodly, the unrighteous, cast away from God forever in that place of suffering. Those who are righteous have come through a probationary period upon this earth. And as we pass through this probationary period upon the earth, and we are able by God's grace, mercy, the blood of Jesus, to have our sins forgiven, when we reach heaven, there will be no more sin or temptation. We will be shielded by God from that. We shall also be shielded from sadness and heartaches. The Bible says in verse 17 of our text, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now look at it in the original language. If you go back into the Greek, what is being described there is that God, as it were, will reach down with His hand and He will remove the tear ducts from our eyes. And as God removes the tear ducts out of the eyes of those who are redeemed in heaven, there will be no way, no possibility for us to ever cry again, no sadness. We can truthfully and honestly sing that great old song, "No tears in heaven, no sorrows given, all will be glory in that land." I cannot imagine what it shall be like to be in a place where there is no more pain or sickness or death or anything. There'd be no wreaths hanging on the doors describing the death of someone. All of that is gone forever. And we shall be shielded from the sadness and the tears of this life. We shall also be shielded from the struggles and the burdens and the problems that we face in this life. You remember the words of Paul in Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse number 5. Well, there the Bible says, "And every man shall bear his own burden." Into each life, some rain must fall, but not up there. We know in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." And so, I've got, a 5-minute warning? Okay, I heard the bell. I can hear fairly good, but I'll try to wind this up just in the next few minutes. And we know that we will be protected and shielded from all of the struggles and the heartaches and the problems of this life. Romans 8, the sufferings of this present time. What are you going through presently? Whatever the struggle is, whatever the problem is, it is, as the Bible says, it is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Where? In heaven above. The glory that we're going to receive far outweighs any of the struggles and the problems of this life. The Bible says our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things that are seen, for the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Weary one, look away from the cross to the crown. Weary one, look away from the light afflictions of this life unto the wonderful blessings that shall be given to those who are in heaven with God, shielded from all the struggles of life. Well, I told you there are three. I've got one more, and then we'll be finished. Yes, heaven is going to be a joyful place because of the service we shall render to God, because of the shielding of God over our hearts and lives. And finally, we're going to have the joy of satisfaction. The Bible says they will hunger no more, nor will they thirst anymore. Go back and read the wonderful promise that is found in verse number 16 of our text. In heaven, no more hunger, no more thirst. What does that describe? Hunger and thirst describes the longing or the desire for things. We never can get enough, where we never hunger again in this life. Jesus told that woman of Samaria, "You're going to come back here to Jacob's well, and you're going to draw up water out of that well again and again. And the water that is in this physical well is not going to satisfy you. You're going to come back to it over and over again. But if you will take the water that I will give you, it will be inside of you a fountain of life springing up into eternal life. And the water I give you, you'll never thirst again." Not only in heaven, but in this life. If I will give my life in service to the Lord, I can find satisfaction. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I love the promise of Psalm 23, verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The little child said, "The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. I don't need anything if I've got the shepherd walking with me. And the Bible says when we get to heaven, Jesus the Lamb in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to fountains of living water. Who better knows our needs than Jesus Christ? He's been here. He's lived in this fleshly body. He knows what it is to hunger and thirst. He knows what it is to have desires. And He will satisfy you and me totally and completely. We will not long for anywhere else to be. We'll not long for anything else to possess. We shall be perfectly and eternally satisfied. When my soul is singing in that promised land above, I'll be satisfied. Praising Christ the Savior for redeeming grace and love, I'll be satisfied. Living in a city where the soul shall never die, I'll be satisfied. There to meet with saved ones, never more to say goodbye, I'll be satisfied. When I meet the ransomed over on the golden shore, I'll be satisfied. There I'll join the angels singing praises evermore, I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. When my soul is resting in the presence of the Lord, I'll be satisfied. I'm not satisfied now totally in this life. Are you? Deep within our hearts is that longing for a place where we shall finally, finally, be completely satisfied. All the good desires of our hearts are going to find fulfillment in that happy land above. What greater joy can fill our hearts than to look forward to this? If you're in this audience this evening and you've never obeyed the gospel, how terrible it would be for you to go through this life having had opportunity to prepare to go to heaven, but you never did anything about it. The joys, my friend, are so wonderful and grand. Why would you ever want to miss a place like that? Why not this evening, if you're in our audience and have never been baptized into Christ, make that decision this evening. If you believe in Jesus and you would repent of your sins, you would confess Christ before this beautiful audience who loves you, and Brother Terry or whoever would be willing to baptize you into Christ tonight. If you need the prayers of your spiritual family, and we can help you in any way to make your life to be prepared for that beautiful, wonderful place that all of us long for, we'll sing the invitation this evening if you need to respond.